Well, good morning, Freedom Community Church, and any visitors, anybody who's with us today, we thank you for joining us. We're excited to have another opportunity to jump into the Word, and we're actually going to finish out the book of 2 Corinthians. I know that seems like a miracle, but we're actually going to do it, and next week we'll be jumping into an entirely different study. You might say, hey, Rob, what is that study? And I'd say, surprise, because I'm still praying about it, and I don't know yet either. I got a few options on the table, and I just want to wait and see where the Lord's going to lead us. But I hope you're having a great day. I hope you've enjoyed this morning. You've got, you know, your 6 or 7 cups of coffee in you, because when it's dreary like this, it's a little hard to wake up. So I hope you're ready to worship and to get into the Word. But I have a few announcements first. We just want to run through those. First of all, there's many opportunities to engage with teaching throughout the week. We've done that because we know some of you, your schedules are crazy, while others of you have more opportunity to kind of jump in and invest in the Word. And maybe you can pick them up while driving and listen to some messages. So I just want to remind you, on Tuesday, we're going to be going back through the book of Revelation. If you joined us, we started last week. And those first 3, maybe 4 messages are audio only, and then they go to video. We're really hoping you'll take those Tuesday messages in Revelation and you will share them on Facebook or send notices out for YouTube. And we're really hoping that people will jump in and start getting into that study, maybe who have never been in the church, because we believe that there's a lot of questions right now that have to do with where we're at in terms of Bible prophecy and going home and in the rapture of the church. And so we really hope you'll share those and that you'll like those and you'll get those out to more people. That would be a big deal. On Thursday or Friday, depending on how the schedule goes, if I'm being honest, we come out with what was called a midweek teaching. Now I think we'll call it the end of the week teaching, which is usually somewhere between 15 to 20 minutes. And they're more topical, kind of dealing with where we're at and maybe some of the things that come up throughout the week. And I'll hope you'll grab those. And then also we have our Sunday services, which you know about because you're watching service live if you're hearing this at all. And we really hope that you will, first of all, ask for notes if you want them. We have notes on the book of Revelation. We have notes on this study that we're concluding today. And we would love it if we could get a copy of those notes in your hands. You could share them with other people. We would love just see the word go out. So you can ask for those at info@freedomcommunity.church and just give us an email. Let us know you're looking for the notes and which ones, and we'd gladly send those out to you. We also would ask that you help us to promote our teachings and messages and times of worship and other things by simply liking us on Facebook and, again, sharing messages, but also by clicking that little bell in the top corner, which lets you know when these videos do come out, when they are posted. So women today are having a time of prayer and fasting, which has been wonderful. I'm so grateful for Marie, who's been leading that. And ladies, there's going to be a 2 o'clock Zoom call today. If you're not signed up for that already, you can reach out to either Marie or Rachel and be included in that Zoom call to kind of conclude that time of prayer and fasting. A lot of that's going on in our nation. What a great practice. I hope you're invested in that. Next, communion. We're not doing communion today. I had Jeannie set up all this stuff for us, and I was off a week. But it gives me a chance now to remind you to get all your communion supplies together for next week. We will be doing communion then. And then prayer requests. If you have any prayer requests right now, we really want to know about them. They could be a praise report. It could be that you really have a need. We do want to know. We do want to respond. If you don't reach out, there's no way for us to know that you need some assistance. But if prayer is the piece that you're really looking for, you can simply email us at wepray@freedomcommunity.church, and we have a team of people who are praying for you. Does it mean people will know your stuff? Yes, depending on how much you tell us. But you know what? I think that transparency is part of humbling ourselves before the Lord and getting prayer from other people. Let's do that. Let's reach out. Let's know what your needs are so that we can pray together as a church. That leads us to the time we're going to pray corporately as a church. We're going to lift up a few things and pray over them. And I've been giving you kind of news updates of where things are at in the world each week. And you know what? Today I just really feel a sense that we need to take a break from all that. And even as we are praying as a ministry team this morning to prepare a message for you and worship and all this time, that scripture came to my head of Psalm 32:7. I just want to read it to you. It says, "You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." And honestly, I think that there's this point where we can get information saturation. There's so much going on. It's so wild out there as the Lord is preparing us for the point where he's going to take the church home and the tribulation period will happen upon the earth. And I think we're at the point now where today it would just be great to have a little refuge, to find our refuge in Jesus. And even as we come into those songs of deliverance, as we worship, for the Jews, it meant something very specific. There were specific songs of deliverance. For us, we worship as the church by just simply praising our Lord. And I hope you'll join in that today, that we just kind of shut everything else out, that you just kind of come to that point where we can jump into the Word and find the interest of the things the Lord is telling us there. We can come to worship and we just kind of let everything else drift away. And so we're going to start by praying, and I hope you'll join me. If you're new with us, I'm going to lead us a little bit in prayer. I'm going to give us a pause there or a space where you can pray, and I hope you'll talk with God. You don't have to be trained how to talk with God. It's simply a conversation. You speak with him. And the more you speak with him, the more you'll know him. So I hope you'll let your voice be heard to him too. And then I'll transition to the next point. So let's do that now. If you'll bow your heads and hearts and let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for being a place that we can run to when the world is crazy. And it is crazy, Lord. It's crazy. But we know that you do not desire to wear us out or to exhaust us. Your word even tells us you don't want us to be those kind of people of worry, carrying the weight of the world upon our shoulders when it was never our job to do so. You've done so, and your shoulders can handle this world and all the planets and all the stars and all creation and all thoughts of all times. So we're going to turn that back over to you today, Lord. But you do tell us to pray about some things, and we want to partner with you in that today. Lord, partly because we know it's a sacrifice that's pleasing to you when we come and pray. It doesn't seem sacrificial on our side. It seems like such a delight. But you say, hey, there's so many other things you could be doing with the life that I've given you. And yet what you're doing is showing appreciation to me by coming back to me and communing with me and talking with me. And Lord, we really appreciate you. We really do. And so, Lord, we want to pray for the leaders of our nation right now. And I love that your word does not say to pray against the leaders of our nation. And we can see that they're divided, Lord. They're really scrambled. There's so much going on. But Lord, what we really want to pray for is that you would speak to them and they would hear. That you would move them and they would be moved. That righteousness would exalt this nation, Lord, by the leaders that you've put in place and their desire to do the things according to your will. And your will is clearly spoken of in your word. So we want to pray your will according to the word, not according to our emotions or opinions or anything else. We want to pray according to your word for the leaders. And so we just lift up the leaders of our nation now, Lord, and we pray. And Lord, as we think about all the stuff going on in Israel and the tension that's building there over this possible annexation of parts of the land that the Palestinians believe is very strongly theirs, we know that that tension is kind of bubbling over throughout the Middle East. And We know that real peace comes from knowing you. That's the only peace that's going to be real peace and lasting peace. But Lord, you also have a desire that there'd be no war. I know that, Lord. We know that there will be war. We know that there will be battles. And we know in the tribulation will be a very bloody season, actually, Lord. But you tell us to pray for peace. And Lord, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to overanalyze everything and try to determine if peace is possible and blah, blah, blah. That's not our job, God. We come before you and we say, Lord, you say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to pray that they know you, that they would love you. All those who come to that land, those who rightfully own the land, those who inhabit the land, those who will come there for visits or to see this amazing place where history is formed over and over again and where you'll set up your kingdom. And so we pray now, Lord, as you lead us for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we pray for the persecuted church, for our brothers and sisters who are going through so many difficulties. And it doesn't take much for us, Lord, to look into the news and see the level of persecution that's going on is ramping up even beyond what it was even just a year ago. It's gone to a hyperdrive, which again is another sign of your coming. But we're praying, Lord, that those believers who are undergoing the trials and the fires, that the enemy would bring against them through people or circumstances or whatever that is, Lord, that you would be greater, that you would be stronger in their lives, that you would show yourselves more abundantly, that you would comfort mightily, and that, Lord, you would have the church, your body, stand for the church, your body, that we would love one another. And out of persecution, what we would see is not indifference or complacency or a distance that makes us unaware, but instead, because we are your body, your bride, all of us, that it would stir in our hearts and cause us to be a people who pray daily, moment by moment, for those who are enduring such trials. And would you lead us now, Lord, as we pray for the persecuted church? And Lord, we do want to pray now for all the riots and the peaceful protests and the looting, and for great police officers who serve us, and for difficulty in every field of life where there are some who misrepresent and or represent poorly. Father, we know that there's a lot of good-hearted, good-willed people that are trying and really trying to make things better. And then there's those who do not want things to be better. They want things to be worse. They're agents of evil. And Lord, we want to pray for your peace to come here. And we want to pray that your peace would prevail and that you would, Lord, that you would minister to those who have lost so much, to those who suffer, to those who are grieving, to those who are fearful, to those who have no idea of how to land their emotions based on the uncertainty that exists. Lord, we want to pray that very thing we were praying earlier in Psalm 32:7, that you would be their refuge place today, their refuge point. And Lord, we just ask that you would lead us in how to pray over all the craziness, not just in our nation, but in the nation to the north of us and in places around the world where there's so much unrest as we prepare to go home. So Lord, would you lead us in how to pray for our nation in the midst of all the craziness? And Lord, we want to pray for a revival now. We realize that where all of these things converge, where all of these things come together, is in the revival inside of the church first and then the outside. Revival in our hearts as believers, as followers of you, people who would fall in love deeply with you. There's too much complacency, Lord, in the church, and we see it, and we just ask for a revival, a time of repentance and refreshing, of coming to you again anew. And Lord, that would spill over and your people would be engaged with those who are lost and have no direction, and that they would bring revival to the nations. And Lord, we believe that's the very heart of what you want to happen. As we pray for our leaders, we want to see revival. As we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we want revival. We want them to know the King of Peace. Lord, and as we pray for the persecuted church, we've been talking about it, Lord. Do we not destroy our enemies when we make them our friends? And they become our friends by coming into a personal relationship with you, Lord. In every area we've prayed, it's revival, that they would come into a relationship with you, that things would be focused again on you. And Lord, so that's what we pray for now. We pray as we close out today for revival, and we just ask that you would move in the nations mightily for this great last harvest before you call us home. And Lord, we pray that we could see it, that we would hear of it. And I do hear these accounts, Lord. We hear of street preachers coming in and people repenting and being healed and coming into salvation. And we pray for more of that, Lord, for songs of worship in the street, for changes of the heart, for a renewed love for you. And Lord, we just ask these things and we lift up all these requests before you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, let's get to that part of songs of deliverance and of worshiping our King as we transition here. And I invite the worship team to come on up.
I guess these are getting recorded straight to YouTube now, aren't they? Is that correct? Awesome. Yeah, you're in the back. Yes. That's awesome. Thank you. But we are glad that you're here with us today. And I just wanted to say a few things before we get started with worship. And as Rob was talking, he was mentioning something about just letting all the other stuff and that's trying to compete for our time and our attentions to just drift away. And I was thinking about the words to a worship song, and we're not doing that song today, but it's called The Heart of Worship, and it says, when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart, and so I'll bring you more than a song, because a song in itself is not what you require. It says you search much deeper within to the way things appear, or through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and it says I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. And so I was thinking about the words of that song, and we do want to play some music, and we do want to sing, and that's how we express our worship. But it's truly about our hearts, and so it's my prayer and my hope this morning that that we just have a worshipful heart. And I hope that shows through in what we're doing up here as we sing and as we play. And I hope that you're worshiping from home alongside with us. And so as we enter into worship, I pray that that we would just worship him in spirit and in truth and from our whole hearts. And so join us as we worship. We invite you to worship with us.
All that is within me, I I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire
to honor you.
To honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All that is within me, I give. Give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me.
Okay.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Oh, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are Jesus, you endure in my pain. Savior, you bore all my shame, all because of your love. Maker of the universe, broken for the sins of the earth, all because of your love. All because of your love. Because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. Now all of my life I freely give, because of your love, because of your love I live. Innocent and holy King, you died to set the captives free, all because of your love. Lord, you gave your life for me, and I will give my life to you, all because of your love. All because of your love. Because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. Now all of my life I freely give. Because of your love, because of your love I live. You did it for me, you did it for love. It's your victory, Jesus, you are enough. You did it for me, you did it for love. It's your victory, Jesus, you are enough. You did it for me, you did it for love. It's your victory, Jesus, you are enough. Because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because because of your blood, my sins are washed away. Now all of my life I freely give, because of your love, because of your love, because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. Now all of my life I freely give, because of your love, because of your love I live.
Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood on the cross, for dying for us, for living for us, for being at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. Lord, we need you. We need you more than ever. We've always needed you more than ever. We thank you, Jesus, and we praise you. And I pray that, just as I said earlier, when that music is stripped away and all the words are gone, that you would hear our hearts. That you would hear our hearts for worship that are expressed in song and in words, Lord, and that you would be pleased by our hearts. We praise you, Jesus, and we thank you and look forward to what you're doing in your church, even during just this crazy time of especially not being able to meet and just all the turmoil that's happening in the world. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in your church. And we pray that we would respond to you, Lord, that we would seek you, that we would love you, that your church, as Rob mentioned before, would undergo revival, Lord, individually in our own hearts and in your church. We praise you, Jesus, and we thank you for today and look forward to hearing from you through your word. We pray in your name. Amen.
Close out this amazing letter. I hope you've gotten as much out of it as I have. I've really enjoyed our study together in 2 Corinthians. And today, as we finish this up, we're going to hear that Paul is going to try to prepare them for his coming visit, to get it right so that the visit can be enjoyable and not something that he's got to focus on dealing with the sin that's there, but rather the community that he'd like to have with them. And what we're going to find is, as we're going through this, in addition to that, there's all these little pieces, these little segments, which are kind of common as the letter is closing out, that are very pertinent. They're just pithy, strong, powerful points, and then we'll close with a benediction. So if you will, we're in 2 Corinthians 12. We're picking up in verse 13 today, and we're just going to jump right in. And it says, "For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong." So Paul has been correcting them. He's been correcting that minority who is really rebellious and trying to destabilize Paul's ministry, his planting of the church, his caring and nurturing for that church. And he's coming back and he's hitting another issue for him. And, you know, it really comes back to him being a little sarcastic here, as he has in some other places, to try to get through to them. Throughout the Bible, we find places where even the Lord has had to say to people, "You're a stiff-necked people." And this is what Paul's dealing with. So a little sarcasm comes into play to try to break through that stiff-necked barrier that they might have. And these are the ones, again, who are blaming him. And they put him in this terrible position. I can't imagine trying to be where Paul was with this group of people that he loves so deeply, although I suppose all of us can imagine that to some degree. But he had just given himself away to them over and over again, and here's where they would respond back in just unloving ways. And what does he say? He's saying, look, you guys are saying that I kind of short-cheated you, that I didn't bring you the real gospel, that I didn't bring you all these laws and rules that you would have to listen to and follow. And he says, but in no way is that the case. I mean, they got Paul, the apostle, one of the 12 pillars. I mean, there's only 12 real apostles at the top, the apostles that are listed on the 12 pillars or foundations of what we know we'll see in heaven. And there's not hundreds, there's 12. They got Paul. So what he gave them was all the goods. They got it all. But really what's happening for them is they are the ones who are stifling their own maturity. They're the ones who are stifling their ability to really walk in the fullness of faith. They did it to themselves because they failed to financially partner with Paul by trusting the Lord in the money that the Lord had given us. Because we know that our money really isn't our money, it's God's money. And some people really struggle with that. When I say that, there are believers right now who are cringing that I just said that, that your money really isn't your money. And you might even say, I earned the money. I figured out how to make the money. I do everything, but it is my money. And the truth of the matter is, unless God put breath in your lungs, you'd have no ability to make money. Unless he gave us the resources and the ability and the cognitive ability, you would have no money. And here in this case, they were so over-focused on possessions or their financial ability that it was stifling their maturity. And boy, do I think that is such a powerful piece for us to pay attention to right now today because of what I just mentioned. There are many who cannot mature in the faith due to their own decision not to partner with the Lord or to entrust his money and the expenditure of it to him. And so Paul says, man, if anybody has done that to you, anybody has made you inferior, it's yourself. It's not me. I haven't told you you couldn't partner, and I haven't told you not to trust the Lord. It's a decision you made on your own, and that's their doing, not Paul's. And so then he simply says, look, I saw the obstacle that was in play there from the very beginning, because he came into a culture where money was a big deal. They were affluent. They had big positions and big possessions with those positions. And so he simply removes that barrier. He says, I don't want your support. I'm not going to take your support. I've never done that, because I don't want anything to get in the way of you receiving the Lord. The problem for them is, again, it's going to come down to maturity. Until they do trust the Lord with everything, with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of everything that we are, it is going to stifle maturity. And this is one of those barriers. And it's so interesting that now they're trying to put up a barrier against Paul in the church when he's the one who came in and attempted to remove all the barriers between them and God so they could be restored in a personal relationship with him. How sad that it turned out that way. And he's going to continue with that idea of giving or with money here in 14, but more in giving. And he says, now for the third time, I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. For the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. So the real heart of ministry here that he's speaking about, or ministering in Jesus, is to seek people's salvation and then their growth in the Lord, their maturity, their developing and becoming complete in Christ. And he's going to bring that up again later, because we're kind of building on a thought here. But there are always those who are going to focus on money more than people. They're going to be after the stuff, not the people's well-being in Christ, their salvation, their maturity, their becoming like the Lord. And that's always going to be there, unfortunately. And that's why he says here, I don't seek yours, but you. And I can't help but think, for Paul, this had to be so grievous. You know, when we talk about people who abuse the gospel or a position that they might have inside of a church for financial gain, you can imagine how it poisons the heart of many people towards giving. And I get it. I completely get it. And I think Paul gets it here too. Because there are always those who come in to fleece the flock. then there's this underlying kind of nagging question of, well, who do we really trust? Who really is going to take the resources that we're giving to God and use them for God's work or to finance the ministry that's going on and not just to line their pockets or to overly spend for their own blessing? And so Paul's agitated by this, and I get it. I understand why he's there, because he really did seek them and their walk with the Lord, where those who were now coming in were really after the stuff. They saw an organization, they saw a business, they saw an enterprise, they saw funds coming in and out or the potential for that. And so they came in for the stuff. But Paul, in this whole thing, he says, look, I understand the complexities here. I understand where you're at in this area of immaturity, in this area that you're holding yourself back. And he says, and so I just want you to know, I'm going to overlook all that stuff. I don't care that you didn't cover my expenses or that you didn't participate in this ministry with me, in the ministry in your own church body there in Corinth. And he says, man, I'm going to let all that go. I'm going to do the laboring for you. And I say overlook because, you know, Paul, sometimes we see him as being like Superman of the faith. He did do an amazing job. I mean, we're talking back to one of the 12 apostles here, but at the same time, very human. And Paul would have struggled naturally the same way we do. You know, we've got the natural man, that old nature before Christ, and then we have that new nature. And when people affront us, or when they come in such a way to not acknowledge the labor that has been done, I can imagine for Paul that this would have been hurtful to him. I could see how he'd say, man, after all the way that I've loved you, after all that I have invested, after all that I personally spent and raised to minister to you, we're still in this place. But Paul was saying, man, I'm going to choose rather to see you through the spiritual lens, through the supernatural lens, to look after the care of your soul. And that's what we all need to do. We need to get our focus in that place. And he indicates he's not going to just focus on their inability to show appreciation for him. He says, no, I'm going to go further than that. I'm going to be spent for you. Now, of course, he did get other people who were helping pay for his ministry travels, and he was invested in that personally. But what he's talking about here is being spent emotionally for them, spent in his heart, spiritually spent for them. And he says, look, I'm going to offer myself to you because I'm going to love you, not because you loved me, but because I love you, because Jesus loved me. And that's the heart of real ministry. It says, man, I'll keep ministering even if that appreciation isn't there. I'll keep ministering even if that support isn't there. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I'm serving the Lord. And in serving the Lord, I'm going to love you. And it was a sacrificial thing. It really cost Paul to do this ministry. It really was complicated and difficult for him to do it. And can you imagine in all that he did for them, it would be one thing to be poured out and spent and financially invest. And people would say, gosh, Paul, thank you so much. But they did the opposite. This group, this minority in the church were really treating him poorly. And I was thinking of this, and we've taught about it before. Sorry, teenagers, I'm going to hit you for a minute. But I remember raising teenagers, and there's those moments where you love, and imperfectly, we're not perfect, and yet you feel kind of mistreated in the effort and the things that you put forward. And if you're a teenager, don't worry. When you're my age or older, you'll feel the same way. Your time's coming, I promise. You'll get it too, and you'll say, I've done so many of these things, but they just don't appreciate how much it costs me, not financially alone, but emotionally. To watch them grow and to drive and to do all these things. And I would like to say for all of us parents and for anyone else who can relate to this, that we stand in good company because Jesus went through this. He went through it more than any of us will ever go through it. I mean, you think about it, God stepping into humanity, taking on humanity for their salvation, and then now go back and just read the gospel accounts of how we've treated him. And not just in the gospel accounts, not just in the accounts of his crucifixion and his scourging and all the ugly things done to him, but in the way that we have treated him year by year since, as more are born and more go home, as generations change and decades go to decades and centuries to centuries, humanity has treated the love of Jesus toward us so contemptibly over and over again. And we have to ask ourselves now, I want to be a follower of Jesus. So what does that look like? What did he do? Well, he simply loved him. He poured himself out for him. He said, I'm going to love you in spite of the way that you despise me. And I'm going to win you over with love. And I would say it's really important for us to remember that also. We need to keep loving and keep serving wherever you're called.